Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own world-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Elton, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 25 years on the show with Dr. Pat as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analysis, and transactional analysis. Patricia will help you better understand Dr. Pat's teaching. Before we get started, please write down the call-in number to get Dr. Pat's answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 232-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number after calling the station. The WAN Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat, myself, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com or call the office 949-723-0338 to sign up. And now let me turn the show over to Dr. Pat Allen and our host, Patricia Elton.
Hello, Dr. Pat. I'm so happy to be here with you, and I'm so happy you're here with all of us out there in the airways.
We're exploring creative ways to love people.
Thank you. And I'm here to thank you for all the great work you've done, not only for me, but for the rest of mankind, and talk about your fabulous books that I have in front of me, starting with Conversational Rape. Now, you have said before how that book came about.
That book is it's a version of my doctoral thesis that I wrote directly after I got it. So
The basis you said was based off of your doctoral work, which was androgynous.
When I got my PhD from Dr. Charles Parker, I wrote this book, and my wonderful neighbors named it.
Fantastic.
I'm going to give him credit. It sounded like, my goodness. But you know what? As I wrote it, I took issues that are problems in communication with people who are becoming themselves or getting married or having a family. And the problem is that there are only three ways to communicate.
Okay, well, we'll get her right back. We have some technical. She has a technical issue on that end, so we will get her back on.
Let's see if she can get back on.
Anyway, the Conversational Rape was her initial book, and since then, okay. Oh, hi, here we are. So your initial book, yes, this came about.
By the way, Roberta started the phone again. I didn't.
I understand. I understand. So, talking about conversational rape and how it came out of your doctoral work and the wonderful title, because you talk about how people rape each other with their poor communication styles.
like most rapists, they think they're making love, but they're not. What they're doing is scripting the person to be a submissive doormat.
Right. You want to give us an example of a simple conversational rape example so our listeners can see what that sounds like?
Well, it might be on you as an individual. See, we all have to become I in order to marry or mate with me, we,
right,
or have a family or a business.
So an example of that would be in conversation.
A situation of that kind would be something like what I just went through, where I was told in this, we're creating this new program, that I was not to touch the phone. But my daughter had to, or the show wouldn't go on.
Right. Now, in the meantime, a conversational rape example that you've used many times in your seminars is, gee, Sally, your hair looks nice today.
Here's what I would have done as myself. I would have said, Patricia, it's happening.
Right.
I'm working.
Right. So now, another example, the audience could hear what I said, hopefully, and that was, Sally, your hair looks nice today, so that implies that all the other days it looks like crap. Right?
Something like that.
Something like that. So that goes deep into conversational rape. But your biggest best-selling book that's been on the market for a top seller for many, many years is Getting to I Do.
But no, you have every right to want me to do that. But I want to say the other two ways of raping.
Yes.
I talked one, intimidation with fear. Fighting or sarcastic, or because people have to be loved to become themselves. So the other two ways are to be seduced by a rapist with guilt and shame. Didn't I buy you that car? Didn't I send you to school? How can you say no to me when I don't like that girl you want to marry? I don't like her. I don't want her.
That is how people get raped conversationally. Right.
Seduction. I bought you a car and I bought you in physically.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is shame.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to the, you want to become a minister?
Mm.
How dare you think about that? I want a doctor.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm.
Here's what I am. I'm a transactional analyst. I'm going to say the most important thing I'll ever say on this show. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits, scripted habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character.
That's right. And your character is your destiny. So on that note...
Oh, I think we have some callers in the calling.
Oh, great. And here we go.
Okay, let's see. Gotta wait till Sam calls him back.
Okay, and remind everyone, Sue, how it works when they call the number.
Here's a caller. Caller joined. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, caller. But I want to make one point. When you call the station, they will log your phone number and they will call us back. So. even though you don't get a person when you call in, they have your number to put you in the queue. So what can I do for you, caller?
Hey, guy, I have a question.
Yes.
So basically, I called him before last year or before. So I had to tell my boyfriend to move out, my live-in boyfriend of 5 years.
Right.
I had to tell him to move out because I had to tell him to move out because he was just very kind of abusive and provoking and intimidating to me one evening. So I had to leave the apartment that we share. And I had to tell him to leave and that I wasn't returning until he had left and moved out. And I recorded some of the things that he was saying to me while he was saying them, like the yelling stuff and just some very mean stuff about me personally, my family, just about all kinds of things. And I recorded it. So I left. And then how come now I still feel that I want him back? And I know that's really not good.
Well, first of all, it sounds to me like you did not do it in how we would teach you to do it, in an appropriate way, to kick somebody out on the spot like that. You did not have a negotiation or a discussion. It sounds to me you just kicked him out. So,
He was angry for the 2 days that I stayed away. I stayed at a friend, mm-hmm. and he kept texting me just paranoid stuff. Are you out there with someone else? You know, just crazy stuff. You've been in the apartment. He also has untreated bipolar. Mm-hmm. So he was having delusional thinking for a few years on and off. He would say stuff that just didn't make sense. And then he's been drinking a lot more since March. So I think it added something extra to the mood and the delusion. Does that make sense?
You're not dealing with a rational person. So the best thing you could do is hopefully rationally say, this isn't working for us. You have every right to behave this way. This is our language. Uh-huh. However, uh-huh. this isn't working. And this is primarily, this was my place first, right? It was your place.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so then you have a discussion, but to leave and not have conversation with someone who is irrational and in a delusional state, you're asking for trouble. So the best thing to do then, but now you say you want him back. Well, that's you being a pain addict. I'm sorry to say that you have unfinished business with this person. And when you don't, that's why we have you write a high buy letter. If you've been listening to this show before, we have people write a really good high buy letter, which is basically a Dear John in a nice way with a golden parachute. And you uh-huh. tell the person in the letter all the good things that you liked about them, and you might want to do this now, all the good things, all the good times, and everything that felt uh-huh. good to you by being in the relationship. And then paragraph 2 is all the pain that you experienced while being in the relationship. Paragraph uh-huh. 3 is what you never want in a relationship again, and what you don't want to experience. Paragraph 4 is what you don't want, is that last paragraph, and then what you do want in a relationship in your life, whether it okay. was someone, no names, and thank the person for the lesson you got. Hopefully you got a lesson out of it, but to me it sounds like you haven't gotten the lesson if you want to be back with the person. So unless you're to negotiate or write this letter and see what happens with this type of letter, with you doing some soul searching in those 4 categories of paragraphs.
Right, that's lovely. And thank you for going through them all. I wrote them down, actually. There was also, I think, compatibility issues because we have been together so long, and I was really saying, hey, I kind of, you know, I don't want to continue this. Beyond the yelling, and I did give him the tools when he did the yelling a couple of months ago, and I did say, hey, I don't like that you have every right to do that, but I don't feel cherished, etc. So he kind of went over that boundary, but I don't know if he's compatible with children, because in his maybe drunken, I think he was drinking, but he didn't seem drunk, but in his rage mood, he did say that he didn't think I was a viable option to have a baby with him, and that it would be the worst decision of his life.
Well, do you want a baby in your life? Do you want a baby with someone?
Yeah.
Then
I don't know if what saying was real, or was it just in his, like,
it doesn't matter. The person said it. Listen to the person's words. Listen to the person's words and believe them.
Even if they're,
I don't care. Their words are their words. And so you're trying to go back. And this is what happens with women who are in abusive relationships, and they go back and they go back until they get battered, until they're killed, whatever. So if you're willing to write this letter, what you do and don't want in a relationship and the lessons you've learned so far, and to thank the person, and you wish them well and goodbye. Are you willing to say goodbye after you've said all those things? I suggest you do some soul searching and write those paragraphs and call us again. And okay. Read the letter to us before you send it.
Yeah, I think I will. And I feel like that's a good idea. And I'll just see what, I mean, there's nothing much I can do. If he wanted out, then he's out. So as Dr. Pat, I think, said to another caller once, like, let him live with his decision. It was almost decision.
That's right. That's right. And you live with it, too. It's the best thing for you.
But I don't think it was necessarily my decision, because he pushed me, surely, to do that, because I had to protect myself. Like, he wanted to end the relationship. He was saying it that night.
That's how he did it. He did it in his way, and you're going to do it like a lady. You still will write the letter, because I want you to learn the lesson and to acknowledge that you got the lesson out of it, being with somebody like that, that is not good for you.
Right.
But not good for your femininity, not good for your feeling centeredness.
Okay, and how do I deal with being broken up? Like, what do I do to deal with that? Like, the pain?
Go. Pain is pain. Pain. Feelings aren't negotiable. Go entertain yourself. Go on dates. Entertain yourself with girlfriends. Go get a massage. Get a pedicure. Get a facial. Make yourself feel good however you can. Okay?
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, caller. Oh, that was a good call, Patricia.
Yes.
Hopefully we have some more callers. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. When you call the station, Sam sees your number and he calls you back. We recommend you put this number in your contacts, because it goes to spam a lot.
Please leave your message for 323.
If you put this phone number in your contacts, when he calls you back, it does not go to spam. Sometimes it goes right to spam and you don't even know he called back. 323-203-0815. Let's see if that caller might have heard us and called back.
So again, what we were talking about in the beginning, the book for new listeners, this is Dr. Pat Allen's One Institute, a call-in relationship show, and Getting to I Do is the basis of Dr. Pat's work on how to get yourself into a successful relationship and maintain it.
We have another one that don't.
Put the contact number in your contacts. Put the LA Talk Radio number in your contacts, and it won't go automatically go to voicemail. Okay.
Yes. Oh, here we go.
Hello.
Okay. You're
Hi.
On the air.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay. Oh, hi. Is this Patricia I'm speaking with?
Yes, it is. What can I do for you?
Great. I just want to let you know I've been listening the last couple of weeks, and I think you're doing a great job, and you've actually helped me on some other questions through other callers. So I commend you. So my question is this. How do I relate to my wife? We're going on 6 years now. We really love each other. We have a great what you consider the three C's that you've talked about, the
good
communication, compatibility, chemistry. So my question is...
Paying attention. Good.
Yeah. Well, you guys have done a great job and really explained things very well. So, and I like to take notes, by the way.
I want everybody to take notes. That's a great idea. Thank you. We do love that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It really has helped me. So I'm saying we definitely have the three C's, but there's like a difference in time. And in other words,
I have to work late. My business requires me to be in Asia, in India, on the phone and working late. So I go to sleep late while she's already in bed early. Okay, she likes to get up at 7, you know, and go for a walk or go to the gym or the yoga class, etc.
She's a lark. So we call that a lark.
Uh-huh.
A lark? What's a lark?
A lark is a morning person, and in psychology, they're referring to the night owls as night owls. Everyone's heard that, but they refer to the morning people as larks.
Well, she's definitely, you know, out there early, and then sometimes I want to spend after dinner, maybe we watch a show together, but she's getting tired and wants to go to bed, that kind of thing, and I have to get to work. So it's not, you know, a terrible friction thing, but it is something that's a little disjointed, and I don't know if I could change because it's a work situation.
Yeah. People,
you know, what do you recommend?
Yes, we recommend what we talk about in negotiating all of our relationships with our mates, whether it's your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend. We negotiate time, space, money, and play. And all those areas are negotiated, and preferably at least once a year. Sometimes people do it twice a year. And now you're talking about time and time spent with each other. There's time spent alone, time spent together, and time spent with others. So in this instance, you sound like you're wanting, when is your time spent together? Did you negotiate time spent together?
Well, the good news is we both work at home, so we do see each other during the day and we communicate, you know, and sometimes we go out for a walk or we go shopping together. But it's still there's this area that I wish we could spend more time together at night, let's say, or... And she wishes that I would get up early and go to the gym with her. So it's kind of...
You're not going to change your nature. We're talking about people's innate nature. And you're a night owl. She's a lark. And that's the way it is. So now you negotiate when you... Can you spend... And you work... So you spend dinner. Do you have dinner together? Do you have some dinner together? Or lunch together?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do have dinner. We do... Do lunch here and there, and so we do spend, you know, a time. I'm working during the day too. She's working during the day. So,
you're talking about maybe spending time watching a show together or something. And if it gets too late, she wants to go to. She's falling asleep, something like that.
Yeah, I'm saying like that's not work where we run into each other. You know, as we're. She's in her office. I'm in my office.
Everything is negotiable. You negotiate a time where you say there's a streaming show on Netflix that we want to watch. Let's decide when we can watch it. That is in the time frame that you cannot be working and she cannot be sleeping. Okay. So, like I said, that's one of the negotiating points in our work. And in the ladies groups, Sue and Pat teach these teachings of negotiating time, space, money, and play. So, caller, that's a great point you brought up.
If you don't mind, I have one more question. Okay, I have been listening, but related to this. So, you know, how do I broach the subject? You know, I mean, she's busy, I'm busy, I don't want to just do it in passing or do it at dinner time. You know, I like that you say that. I want
talk
to
about
do it.
At breakfast time, say, oh, I want to talk about our time spent together. Is this a good time? This is communication tools we learned too. Communication tools are, dear sweetheart, I like to talk about our times we spend together. Is this a good time? Yes, now. If not now, when? Okay, now is fine. So let's make a time where it's actually good for both of us, comfortable for you, dear, since she's the girl. And you say, what would work for me based on my work, since I have to be calling overseas late at night. So let's start talking about when we can spend time together in between working and falling asleep. or you're not going to be a morning person. So if she gets up and has to go to the gym, she has to be okay with that too. You have different biologies. Everyone has a different biology, and you don't have to be exactly on the same page to live harmoniously together. It's all about negotiation. You can do it.
Well, I really
Good questions.
I will try it tomorrow. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I'll try it tomorrow, and I'll hopefully
report back. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Okay.
Hopefully, we'll get some more callers here. 323-203-0815. And I do have a question before another caller came in. How do I respond to a guy that I like if he winks and smiles at me every time he sees me, but I don't know if he has a girlfriend? Oh, somebody else just came on. Hold on. We'll answer that
one. Come back to that. Great.
You're on the air.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. What do you have for us?
Well, I was just wondering, I have a boyfriend that I've had. We've been going together for the last 6 months solid, but I've known him for 12 years.
Do you live together?
No.
Okay.
Don't. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it though.
Mm-hmm.
But I've dated him all together, like counting this time, there's been four different occurrences where we've tried doing a relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the first few times he had a girlfriend, and he kept breaking up with her, and he got together with me on a casual basis back before I knew about Pat Allen.
Right. I understand. I understand.
And then I learned about Pat Allen stuff. So I, corrected my behaviors, and then we got back into a relationship. But I was so fearful for some reason and jealous of his ex-girlfriend that he was with when we were together the first time, and the second time he had just broken up with her, and he would they have a dog together that they shared, so he would still visit the dog. And
I want to know where you're at today. Let's deal with today's issues and get solutions.
Yeah, so well, that's the thing, is because now we're back together, and he sort of was seeing the dog when we got back together, but he pretty much, you know, has not been doing that now and has agreed not to because he knows that makes
him uncomfortable. What does doing that mean? Seeing the dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what needs to happen, because I do know dog training as well. This is not a dog training show, but when people split up and there's a dog involved, animals don't do well with back and forth stuff. The dog should remain with one person or the other and call it a day. And that's it.
That's what I thought too.
That's it. But it's not your business. It's not your business to tell him that, because you are not his mother.
And that was what made me break up with him the first time, was because I didn't want to tell him that. But, you know,
the way you can say it is, you have every right to want to have this dog part time or go see this dog. However, I'm not comfortable with it. And if you want to continue that, I don't really want to continue, because it causes me discomfort.
Yeah. And I think we're pretty clear on that now, but she was still reaching out to him about the dog, but I think she was also seeking like emotional support from him. And he would also like help her out with stuff around her house. So that was what made me uncomfortable. And he also discussed our relationship with her at one point. But that all aside, I still struggle with the fact that, I still struggle in my own mind. Like, I worry that they ever like hook up, or I just have, so much anxiety over it. I worry about her, even though he tells me it's not an issue, and I do believe him.
You don't need to be talking with her, and you can have this conversation with him. And if you have, you have to, at some point when you decide that you are comfortable enough with someone to commit to them and they commit to you, then you have the conversation of, are we on agreement can we discuss this at this time? You asked for the permission to talk about the subject, fine. And are we, can we be in agreement that the two of you are, I'm not comfortable with the two of you hanging out together or talking and carrying on this way because it causes me pain. So is he, and you ask him, do we have, can I get a commitment from you on that?
Yeah, and he has like said that he basically has agreed to do that. But he expresses that he misses the dog kind of, and I feel guilty
No, it's none of your business. The dog and that thing is that situation is not your business. He has to resolve his issue with handling his own pain of missing the dog and honoring seeing if he is missing the if his feelings come over your feelings. If you are in, does he know this work? Is he living this work? And is he deciding that he's going to be in the masculine position and you in the feminine position? Meaning you will respect his thinking and ideas and put him in the position of male, masculine energy, and your feelings need to be cherished first. And if this is something that causes you pain and he doesn't honor it, then he's putting his feelings above yours.
Yeah, and he did that like a few years ago, but now he's changed his story and he's not doing that. And he's being like, he's agreeing that to not talk
to her. As long as he knows that it causes you pain and you see whether he honors your feelings over his missing the dog, which is feeling. If is his feelings matter more than your feelings, then we're in trouble.
Right. Yeah. And we have had conflicts over that, and he does know Pat Allen work, and
okay.
So we are actually doing, trying to utilize the tools together.
Okay. Good.
So I guess it's just mainly my mate. How do
you get out of your head, dear? You get out of your head. And if he's given you that commitment, there's a point in time when you're with somebody, you take a risk on someone and you risk to trust them.
And yeah, because like sometimes I'm like, well, I don't think it's my, I feel like maybe she still kind of has feelings for him. That's my gut.
That's none of your business.
Yeah.
That's none of your business. You stay out of your head with what you think other people think.
Right. Yeah. I think that's where I get into trouble is because I mull over that kind of stuff.
No. Get into your own feelings and out of your head. Just enjoy your life. Busy yourself when you're starting to get up in your head about what other people think and do. You'll be a lot better off if you stick with your own feeling-centeredness, which is go take good care of yourself.
Okay, so I'm not off base in asking him to do that. It should be.
Yes. Yes, that's you're asking for a commitment to make you comfortable and feel secure. And feel secure. Comfort and secure.
Okay. Well, good.
Very good. Good question, caller. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Bye. I don't know if we'll have time to go over my question, but.
Okay.
Oh, I think there's another one. Just caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Karen.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, I'm Karen.
Very good. I'm here for you.
Oh, are we on the air?
We are indeed. Do you have a question for us?
Oh, I have no question, but what I wanted to do is wish Pat Allen an absolutely wonderful new year. I've known Pat. She helped me through my life 40 years ago. I met her.
Wow, and that's fantastic.
I mean, I would never have had the life I had without this woman. What amazes me, I still send young girls that have done it the wrong way to listen, and they get their life straightened out. And it's just amazing. After 40 years, it's the same story, but it's a true story, and it totally works. And it made all the difference in the world, in my life, my career, everything.
Thank you so much. I just want
to celebrate you, Pat, and wish you a happy new year.
Very good. That's a great, great testimonial.
Oh, unbelievable. My career, She takes executives and teaches them how to handle themselves.
Unbelievable.
And I thank you for letting me just give her that salute.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was a great, compliment for Dr. Allen. We'll let her know next show. So how do I respond to a guy that I like if he winks and smiles at me every time he sees me, but I don't know if he has a girlfriend?
Hello.
Oh,
here we go.
You're on the air.
Yes.
Hi.
Will you have a question for us?
Yeah, I do have a question.
Good.
My question is, I am engaged.
And
we spend a lot of time together. He's the one that suggested over the weekends from Friday to Sunday. But over the last month, he's been mentioning, are you bored? He makes all the decisions as far as things to do. And a few times I mentioned things to do, and I'm wondering if he's bored. And he's brought it up.
Don't overthink things. No, listen, men ask, they're direct. They're more direct. We are more convoluted than they are. So if he asks you, he just means he wants to make sure you're happy. That sounds like he's cherishing your feelings.
Okay, because he's asked a few times, and then today, last night he spent time with me, and we're spending a lot of time, and he did say in his marriage he was bored. So I don't have issues with boredom. I'm wondering if he's the one that's bored.
Then when he asks, next time he asks you, or you can, if you want to bring up the subject, I don't personally think it's necessary, but if it comes up again, or if you can always go back into something and say, by the way, darling, you mentioned something the other day, and I just, if this is a good time for me to ask you, since you asked me, and he'll say, yes, okay, fine. And you say, well, you mentioned, asked if I was bored, which I am clearly not. Are you, by the way? You.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're bored?
Me?
Yeah, you. I'm asking you, and then I'll tell you.
No, I'm not bored, but because
okay, so you say what I've been saying. You say, I'm not bored, but since you asked, I might ask you the same question. Are you? And if so, you know, and then see what he says. And if so, then what would you like to do about it? Would you like me to come up with things to do sometimes? Yeah. I mean, does he come up with everything? And maybe sometimes the man wants to defer to you to come up with something.
Yeah, mostly he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I'm letting him lead, but I'm not sure. I'm letting him lead, but I know once on Dr. Pat, she said 2-for-1. So, but he did say this weekend for Christmas, the other issue is he wants to meet my mom and my sister, but they're not talking to me now. And he did say, you know, I'd like to go into New York. I don't want to stay in the house, you know, and be bored in his house.
Okay.
But now they're not talking to me anymore. So,
Your family is not talking to you, you're saying?
No, they put me on block, literally. I mean, they're not talking to me.
Well, does he know this? Have you shared that with him?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's not an option. Clearly, that's not an option. But we can go do something else. Let's come up with something else for our entertainment, darling, or however you call him.
Okay, so I'll do that. And I'm wondering if I am spending too much time with him. I mean, I'm going to marry the man. I mean, he wants to see me from Friday to Sunday.
Fine.
So I'm fine with that. Yeah,
Lead. Follow his lead.
Okay.
You don't need to make any changes unless asked.
Okay, so I will say in a nice way, are you bored?
You say whatever his name is, Jack. Let's you mentioned that, asked me the other day if I was bored. I'm asking you the same question since you asked me, are you bored?
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll do that and see what happens.
And it sounds like he wanted to see your family just out of, since you're going to be marrying, and he probably thought that was the right thing to do, but it isn't the right thing to do in your situation. So that can just scratch that off the list.
Okay, I will do that. And thank you so much for all your help. And I did, everything is working out well.
Wonderful. Call again.
Thank you, caller. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Back to the emails.
Okay. Do you got that one? How do I respond to a guy that I like if he winks and smiles? I don't know if he has a girlfriend.
You don't know if he has a girlfriend, and he's not asking to have sex with you. So unless he's asking to have sex with you, it's none of your business if he has a girlfriend or not. And he may be dating other people, and he's still exploring. You won't know that until you be receptive to someone who winks and smiles at you, for goodness sake.
It's true. Okay. Do guys really care if a woman has weight on her?
Well, this is an old adage that I know.
I know guys are visual, but...
Guys are visual.
Like women, but with a little meat on them.
Yeah, many men... most men, really, when it comes right down to it, if there's a naked woman in the room, all their brain reads is naked woman. So, ladies, don't get so wrapped up in weight per se, but men do care about your hygiene, your appearance, and your attractiveness, and it's about weight. It's about how you present yourself and how you actually feel about yourself, how you walk with confidence, how you dress with some kind of flair in your own way. You don't just walk around and let the man see you in sweats and a bun on your head all the time with no makeup on. It's okay to
We have a caller. Okay, caller, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. What can I do for you?
I wanted to see if I can tell you a dream that you can interpret for you guys.
Okay. Well, we usually do that in the second hour, but you got me now, so you might as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure.
So I had a dream last night, and in the dream, I was in the doctor's office. I was laying in the doctor, like in the chair, with my legs up, and
you're at the gynecologist. You're at the gynecologist.
No, that was a knee doctor, but the same pose, like you lay for the gynecologist.
Mm-hmm.
A female doctor and my mother were in the room as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a doctor. Was going to do a knee surgery for me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a little bit, how did I feel? I felt confused because I didn't agree for the surgery. I knew that my knees were hurting, but I didn't like sign up any consent or made the decision to do the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she was already like injecting the anesthesia, and mm-hmm. she was covering the knees with a blanket, so I don't see, you know, like how it's going to mm-hmm. be done. But I was supposed to be awake, just like the local anesthesia.
Right.
Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I wrote it down. I'm reading it back.
Was what knee? What leg was it? Right or left?
It was both knees, but she started already working on the left knee. Like she already did something to my left knee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was afraid that I would. And that's all.
You were afraid of what? You were afraid what?
I was afraid that I will feel like the pain of
the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know, when we're talking about knees, we're talking about part of our support, our structural support in life, and we need our knees to move forward. So is there some where in your waking life, I want you to connect the dots to your waking life, where you are stifled or you feel like you can't move forward. Are you stuck in some kind of situation that you think needs to be fixed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is it in your waking life where you're stuck and you feel like you can't move forward until something is fixed?
It's my romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your romantic relationship needs some work on it before you can go forward. So what is that? What does that look like to you in your life?
Well, I have been working with Dr. Allen in group for a year, and
that's surgery. That's the surgery. you're getting some work done on yourself so that you can move forward one way or the other. That's what we talk about, how we connect the dots in our dream life to our waking life and what's happening. Sometimes it's a barometer of where we're at, and sometimes we get answers on how to move forward or what to do next. So that's an excellent barometer of where you're at. You're a little stuck right now.
Yes, I do feel stuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it you can be doing? Tell me what you can be doing to so that you can get unstuck, so you can move forward.
I am talking to my boyfriend about the engagement,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like my deal was a year. And to get engaged, and he's not really agreeing to that. And I'm feeling stuck in the sense that I guess, like, I don't know how, maybe that's not the right expression, but to sell myself. But he's not agreeing to that, and I'm not.
He's not agreeing to your terms.
He doesn't want to get engaged yet. He thinks.
Okay, so how long will you give it? How long you need to at some point tell him what your time limit is. What is your time frame that you want to be engaged? How long have you been seeing each other?
It's been a year, and my timeline was a year.
Okay, it's time to write him a letter of you. If you're ready to go to crisis with this, so you can get unstuck and move forward in your life, and you don't have to actually in waking life internalize things. And actually get disorders and diseases and afflictions. So there's a book called When the Body Says No, and when you're not happy, when your things aren't working right, if you don't fix them, they will turn inwards on your body. So for now, you need to come up with a timeline and let him know what your time frame is. Have you had a discussion yet about, is this a good time to talk about our time frame and about engagement? Have you had that discussion?
Well, I had discussions before, and we were not coming to any agreements rather than...
Well, the way to come to an agreement is to come to a definitive point in time that is your timeline and say, because it sounds to me like you want to be a married person. Am I right?
Yes, I do.
If you want to be a married person to him or somebody, you need to have a time frame. It can't be the never-ending girlfriend situation. And you can tell him that in our way of communication, which is, I want to have a discussion with this, if not now, when? And you broach the subject. Make me most comfortable to, and what I would say it to me so you can say it out loud to somebody, what your time frame would be.
Well, I told him that yesterday, actually, we had a conversation, and he said that we are not ready to get engaged because we need to make more money, and that the money is the primary reason, and then when that will happen...
No, that's not a good enough reason. So then you need to... that's not a good enough reason to go past your year that you've already gone past. What is your next deadline? Will you create a new deadline for yourself, and then we can work around that?
I'll give a two more months since the day that we became exclusive, like a boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you bring up that date. You bring up it, the subject with that new date in mind, and tell him you're willing to not, you're willing to not stay in the relationship if you can't, that you're not comfortable staying in the relationship unless you're engaged by that date. Are you willing to do that?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I already said that before, and he said that.
Are you living together?
No, we are not.
Okay. But are you willing to let him go and write him the hi-bye letter then? It's time.
Yeah. I guess I'm not clear because I brought it up, and he said that, so you're just going to throw everything away because I'm not fulfilling your deadline?
Yes. And not in that way. You write the letter. You do some soul searching, and this is the golden parachute, which is the hi-bye letter. You say, do you know the format for the hi-bye letter?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's time. It's time for you to do your own soul searching. When someone writes that letter, it's very deep soul searching on your own behalf. And when they read it, and they know, and then you thank them and you say, I have to, and if I want to be engaged and married by da, da, da. And by the end of the letter, you say, thank you for the lessons I've learned being with you. And I'm going to let you go. You need to be strong enough to say that. And I don't want to say strong, but potent. Us females have inner potency. So that's how we maintain our feminine. Our feminine strength is called potency, and you can tell him that you're willing. Yes, you are walking away in the form of the hi-bye letter, which is very, very to the point, but it is also gentle and soulful.
Thank you. So just a clarification, do you suggest for me to extend for two more months and then do that, or...
If you're willing to do that, yeah, let him know first that you're willing to go two more months verbally, and then after 2 months, if you're not engaged, you write that letter. Yes.
Okay. Got it. Very good.
Thank you, caller. Thank you. Call us back and let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. It's. I guess we could probably start taking some. It's almost five. We could probably start taking some calls for dreams.
Okay.
If we have callers out there. I think I had a couple of that ladies that we put on the queue to call for dreams. Oh, here we go. Somebody's on the call. You're on the air with Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. I'm the lady who called in about the 25-year-old friend who invited me to meet his family or his children.
Yeah, last week.
Yes, last week. It went so well.
Good. We love hearing it. We love hearing that.
Yes. Okay. And I also called to say that I don't remember my dreams, or I didn't dream, and you gave me a tip to try to connect.
Yes.
So I had three visions come up for me.
That's a dream. That's enough of a dream. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first one was an old Western covered wagon, like the John Wayne kind.
Yep.
And then the other one, another night was, I have these like white quartz counters in my home, and they were just like filled with water. Like water was just dripping all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was this round submarine kind of thing that, it had no windows, no doors. It was like in the shape of a tea ball, you know, the loose tea thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was floating on the water, no windows, no doors, in the shape of the tea ball. And then another dream was ship underwater, and there was a porthole. I think that's what you call it when it's like underneath
mm-hmm.
and the ocean water. And that was the other one. So that's
these are great dreams. Now, the covered wagon dream, that talks about something that's to do with history. That's historical for you, your own personal history. So it, you just saw the image of a covered wagon? It wasn't doing anything? Okay. No. Well, it was bringing up something historically for you because that's like Old West vision. And so, and dreams do come in sequences and they all lead up to things. So now we're talking about the other images all have to do with water. Now, water images in our dreams represent our sensual, sexual, romantic relationship side of our life. So you've got some stuff going on. You're overflowing. The first one is overflowing, and you're so that's a good sign to me that you've got flowing water. It's not a stagnant, mosquito-filled puddle. So this is flowing water, and it sounds to me like as being a barometer where you're at now. You're in a relationship, and it's moving forward. It's flowing.
I'm not in a relationship. I would like the relationship with the widow who I met his children. I would like the relationship.
Well, you seem like you're open for it and it's flowing. You're open for it because you have all these water images coming to you. And you have another image besides the on the counter, the water. What was the next water image?
The submarine floating on the water.
The submarine floating on the water, but you're not in the water. That's encapsulated. So I just want you to know that you're still dabbling and you're dabbling on the water, but you're not submerged in it. So we know you're not in the relationship, but you are certainly ready to definitely explore a relationship.
Well, that's good.
And you got the porthole, and then you're down under. That's a great sign being below the surface. And you've got the porthole, so you're looking through. So you are definitely exploring. You're on a like a Jacques Cousteau mission for your romantic side of your life.
Oh, wonderful. I've been working on this for years. Okay.
This is good. This is very good. You are ready. You're ripe. And you're in the right place at the right time, and your psyche is telling me that you are you're ready.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for calling. Call us back and let us get updates on what's going on. See if the dreams come true.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Yeah, I remember her last week.
Okay. Yes, good. That's the movement.
Get a follow-up and follow them and see what...
That's nice to get the follow-ups, people, all the new listeners out there. We have new listeners, and Sue, you want to tell them about your groups for the new listeners?
Well, starting in January, the groups are pretty much full for January, but you can always get on our wait list. Dr. Allen has a ladies' group, I have ladies' groups, and Kelly Ward has a ladies' group.
Hey, this is Michelle.
Oh, here we go. Oh, is somebody on? Oh,
For 1 second.
Oh, they got kicked off. But you can always call the office, 949-723-0338, or send me an email, info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. And we can set you up to start in January's ladies groups. And then in my ladies groups, we also have a class where I have one session with Patricia to do dreams. So it kind of works with the ladies groups and dreams. It's kind of like a mishmash to bring you to awareness on what's going on. And then if Patricia, she has her book you can
purchase. Hello?
Oh, hello. You're on the air.
Okay.
Hi. What can I do for you?
Hi. Basically, I'm calling about, hold on a second. I am calling about dreams.
Good.
And I have two recurring dreams that happen to me quite frequently. One of them is has to do with my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And I dream that I go back to the house that we lived in. And it doesn't look like that, but it has the same flair and grandiosity. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhat empty, and I'm always searching for some kind of object. And it's either a piece of china or crystal or something like that that I want, that I left behind, that I want to take. Mm-hmm. And my ex-husband is not surprised to see me. If anything, he said, oh, I'm so glad you're here and come with me. And I keep on telling him, we're not married. I'm not here to stay. I didn't come back for you. Mm-hmm. And his current wife is already in the house, but I cannot see her. Mm-hmm. And I want to avoid her. And I have this, oh my gosh, I would tend to say at least once a month.
Okay, let me explain something to you about recurring dreams. Recurring dreams are always about unfinished, unresolved issues. And it's not to do with your ex-husband. It's to do with your unresolved issues, because everyone and everything in your dreams is representing an aspect of yourself. So I want to ask you, what is his character type? How would you describe him in a nutshell?
In real life or in my dream?
Waking life. In what waking life? Describe him as a character.
He was a very manipulative, controlling spouse. Mm-hmm. And
as a character in life, so you call him a manipulative, controlling person in life?
Yes.
As a character, that's his character. Okay, so that is representing some aspect of yourself that you have hung on to, and just so you know, and it's a feeling of manipulativeness or controllingness that you have left over from something in your life where you feel you need to, you have a feeling of wanting to manipulate or the need to manipulate or control. And so you're going back to an old house, and that's and the old you, those are the current you, is where, you know, it's different. So you're going back in history to resolve some leftover feelings, and you're looking for a piece of china or a piece of an object. And when you're looking for something that is missing, there's a missing element in your healing. How many years have you been divorced?
7.
7 years. Okay. So you are looking for some missing ingredient in you, but nevertheless, you are saying, I'm not going to go back. I can't go back with you, but it's not him. We have to get the fact that it's not him. It's an aspect of yourself that he represents. So where in your life can you clean up that character defect, let's say?
In my self-worth, I tend to be extremely hard and judgmental on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it has nothing to do with him, but he was like that.
It really does. We just use him as a character in our play. The people that in our dreams, they're just characters we choose for the play we're designing to help us with our personal growth. So now that you have that understanding, you are needing to dive in to do some of your own work. And you might want to call Stu and set up a script session and get into your life script and how we can clean up some old stuff that needs to be examined and some of it discarded. And we, you know, show you ways to do that.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds, yeah, I think there is something there definitely that's bringing me aha moments as we speak. So that's great. Now, can I ask for my other recurring dreams?
Sure.
That one has to do with my mother, that I am younger than I am currently.
Mm-hmm.
But I am already married and I have some age children, but it's very vague. And I happen to go to the town where I used to live as a child with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I discover that she has a hidden identity.
Mm-hmm.
And she was extremely successful and very brilliant. And I never knew about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm very surprised. I cannot talk to her ever. She's very elusive. And I cannot come home.
All of this is in the dream.
Yes.
In the dream. Okay. So in waking life, what was her character type? As a character.
My character.
Her character
type. Her character type. She was a very self-centered, unreliable, very emotional, mm-hmm. Very self-focused
mm-hmm.
Person
mm-hmm. Okay.
who always compared herself to myself, mm-hmm. but always that she was prettier
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't.
Okay,
and
now we are getting into the script work. This is what I love to do. So I'd love you to call for a script session, but I'm going to get into some of it right now. When we dream of our parents, when they visit our dreams, it's not them. This is stuff that comes, it's our scripted self. This is stuff that was handed to us and given to us through our parents, our schools, our churches, our even the shows we used to watch when we were kids, how we became scripted in our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, our behaviors are scripted from 6 months in utero to today. So especially in the early formative years. And what happens is we can re-examine all this stuff and decide what parts of this no longer serve us. So in this instance, with this dream, we are what's coming back to you is the scripted stuff from your mother, which is how you think and how you think about yourself. And this is in your head. This is not your gut. This is not your feminine part. This is your head, your masculine side of yourself. So you have some scripted crap that was given to you by her that we need to clean out for so you can move forward and have a flourishing life with high self-esteem, high self-worth. And I love to get into that and any kind of recurring dream. Has this been a little bit of a recurring theme?
Yes, a lot. I mean, that...
Okay, well,
the
ex-husband
and the mother keep on coming back. Yes.
Well, this is what happens when we are ready to deal with the crap, because it keeps bubbling up from our unconscious through our subconscious and tries to reach our conscious mind. And it all starts with the dream world is helping it come through. And so when I teach people to decipher it, then they can uncover the stuff that was laid on them and that you can decide to keep or not keep. So we definitely can do that through our script work. And it's wonderful that it's trying to come through for you. I so appreciate
it. Yes, I signed up for Sue's group.
Wonderful.
Starting in January.
Wonderful.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when the ladies come to my ladies groups, I usually have them go to Patricia to work on inner stuff that helps them propel faster in my ladies groups as well. And then they also get classes with you with dream interpretation. But
yeah.
If you want to get Patricia's book,
hello.
Oh, hello.
We'll talk
Hi.
To you in a minute. Hi, caller. But my book is called The dream class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to take a minute. If you want to order Patricia's groundbreaking book, it's on Amazon, and it's called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. You can order it on Amazon. It's a very nice book. And
I can vouch for it. It's an amazing book.
Oh,
it has ton of very valuable stuff and easy to read, too.
Thank you. What can I do for you tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so last night I had a dream of a young lady and a few of her girlfriends. I think there were three of her girlfriends. They're all very different looking, like one's a black lady, one's a redhead, one's a blonde, and they're walking into this house because they're just like really looking for a good time, let loose, have fun. They're walking into this house, and I don't remember what happened, but the blonde woman, she does something and it's wrong. And her dad appears in the dream and he's very upset with her, and they decide, and I don't remember who decides or what was said, but they decide that he can rape her as like a punishment and it'll all go away. And she even says, okay, but I'm only doing this because I feel guilty.
Wow.
And I forgot what she said, what else she said, but that is like clear as day to me. And in any case, she's going to let him rape her and she feels guilty. And they talk a lot about the process, like, okay, I'm going to first do this and then I'm going to do this. And then this like other guy appears and he's Asian and he's sitting behind this really like big desk. And it's almost like he's watching over everything, making sure that the dad follows the rules and everything's fair. And I remember thinking that, so they're in this room, they're in this house, in this room, but the door is open and I'm watching the dream like from the back of the room. And so I can see very clearly that the door is open. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking they need to get this over with, like just do it already, because somebody's going to come in and watch this dad like rape his daughter. And so I just remember having that thought. And then she's on her back. They're both totally clothed. She's lying on her back. And he's like kind of on his knees. And she just like keeps going to like touch her boobs. And the nice guy who's like kind of like sitting behind the desk is just watching like the rules and explaining as they go. And I just thought that was such a weird dream. And he doesn't, you know, I wake up before anything happens, which is kind of like,
it's the plan. They're setting up the plan to do it. Yes, I get it. So this is like a pre-planned in your psyche. What's going on is you're feeling like in your mind, you're thinking and you're feeling, because there's masculine and feminine images here, and or is there something going on in your life where you feel like you're allowing a painful thing to happen that's almost against your will, but you're allowing it anyway. There's something that's very organized about this potential rape.
Yeah.
So where is it in, what's going on in your life where you feel like systematically being set up for some painful experience? Are you going through a painful time right now?
I'm going through like an 8-week kind of like holding period.
Okay. So you are going through and you are feeling like that you're feeling a systematic approach to this pain. Am I right?
There's
something systematic. You're following some systematic thing and saying, I'm going along with it, even though it doesn't feel good. Am I right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But ultimately, there's somebody governing this, and it's the guy behind the desk. And what was his character? He was just the person to make sure that it goes according to the rules?
Yes. He is very, I just remember getting a very warm and fuzzy feeling for him, and it's nothing. He was very nice.
Good. Well, that is okay. These are you're having a struggle right now between your thoughts and feelings. You're going through a rough period, and you are following something that doesn't feel good to you, but you're doing it anyway, because ultimately the nice guy who's created the rules here say it's ultimately going to be the right thing. Am I right?
Yes, that's
okay. Right. So what's going on in your life where you're gutting through something and ultimately it's the right thing, but it's not comfortable while you're going through it?
You're asking specifically, my partner broke up with me, and we're doing an 8-week break where I am supposed to, you're helping me, Sue's helping me.
I get it. I didn't know this one. So you're following something, something that is unnatural for you. But because you know the end result is going to be good for you, you're going to gut through it anyway.
Yes. I guess that's what my dream is telling me, because that's exactly what is actually happening in real life.
That in waking life, because dreams are real too. It's just comes to us in odd ways, in symbolic ways. So you're going to white knuckle it through this period so that you can get to the other side. You know, we talk about when you've got an arrow stuck in you and it's causing pain, it will cause more tissue damage to pull the arrow out. So we have to push the arrow through to get to the other side.
Yeah.
Symbolically. Okay. So you're going to gut through this period, this 8-week period. And how much time are you into it now?
3 weeks and 3 days, but who counts?
Oh, okay. And how many hours and minutes? Okay. You're doing fine. You're doing fine in a tough situation. And as you have support in your life, you have a women's group, you have people, you know, someone to reach out to, and you have a show to call on Thursdays. And so you have to just gut through it, like the person in the dream who's just going to lay there and follow the system until it's over. Okay. Until the 8 weeks.
Okay. Then I was awake after the dream, and my eyes were still closed, because that's what you have also
Chapter 7, keep your eyes closed, right?
So then I have, so my eyes are still closed, and I have the thought, or like the vision, that the two girls are talking, and they decided to go like back into the house and like make it right and like clean it up again.
This is the same dream or extension of the same dream?
So I'm awake now.
Oh, now you're awake with your eyes closed and you have this vision after, while you're upon waking. Got it.
Yeah. And one of the girls kind of stalls, like she's going to go look for something. She's like, we'll go back. But hang on, I got to like find something. And I'm watching it, but I'm awake, but I'm watching it. I don't remember I'm reading my notes right now, and I actually don't remember what I meant by this.
Well, you're in the Lyman state. When you keep your eyes closed like that, you are in the state of consciousness between sleeping and waking. And that's the liminal state of consciousness, which is called the Lyman state. And you can still access your subconscious while you're in that state. So what you're wanting to do in this state that you were in is go back in there. You want to go back into the scene and clean it up. Is that it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. You want to go back in and clean it up. So that's it. You're wanting to stick with the program and clean it up. Have you made some boo-boos along the way, or have you faltered a little bit along the way here in your 8 week, and 3.5 weeks into it?
Yeah, definitely. Especially in the first week. And then the second and third week, Sue might tell you, I've flirted with going back to,
Well, there you go.
Almost messing it up, but I don't, because I have very clear guidance from from her.
Okay, so that's what you're doing. You vacillated a little bit, but you stayed on the program because you have guidance and you're sticking with it, and you're going to gut through it and push the arrow through. You're not going to yank the arrow out, because that'll be a lot more pain later. So.
And then I remember, it's been like, I'm still awake, my eyes are still closed, but I remember like it jumping, like it's been a few months from that point, and we're both in a car on the way over to that same house, and the same blonde says, after 25 tries, I killed us.
Who said that?
The blonde girl, the one who was like, the one who was going to like, let her dad rape her.
Uh-huh. Okay. So she said what? After 25 tries, I killed it?
I killed us.
I killed us?
Yeah.
Us. Okay. Okay. So you're the blonde girls represent, are you, what are you blonde, or is that not your, you're not?
No, I have brown hair.
Okay. You're brunette. Okay. So blonde to you represents what? More like, would you say the wild side of you? Or representationally, what does blonde represent to you?
Probably my knee-jerk response is like innocent, because she was so small in the dream. Like she was so small. She
petite.
Looked almost like a, what?
Petite. She was small and innocent, seeming.
Yeah, very small, petite, and very innocent. And whatever she did, it was like, oh, it was an accident. Sorry.
Okay, well, that she represents an aspect of yourself that behaves like that. So there's an aspect of you that does that. So in the meantime, you're going back, but you said you killed it or us?
25 tries, I killed us.
25 tries, I killed us. Well, how many times have you tried with the boyfriend that you just broke up with?
I was thinking about that too. Like I was wondering.
Did you have tried many times?
25. That seems like a lot. We have tried
dreams can exaggerate, but nevertheless, you guys try. How many times? How many years were you on again, off again?
We've been on again off. So the first 3 years we were on off for a few times, and then the past 6 we've been on. So. I would say, maybe 5 tries.
Okay. So we multiplied that by 5. I'm just saying, in your dream life, it's enough, So it says we finally killed it. The way we were doing it before. So what you're doing now is something completely different than you've done before.
Yeah.
You've killed an old way of behavior, and you have new behavior.
Oh, good. Okay. I have one more super quick.
Thank you so much, caller.
Can I do one more super quick one?
I think we got some else going on, but next time we'd love to hear from you.
Okay, I'll save it.
Well, call us back next week, and we'll take another caller.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Bye. Let's see. She's a good call-in person when she has her dreams. She knows what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that she got the book and she's writing her dreams down. That's a big part of dream work and getting in touch with
yourself. Oh, we have another caller here.
Okay. Hi.
Hello. Caller, you're on with Patricia for your dream.
Hello. Hi.
Yes, you're on. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Yes, actually, I have like a 3 dreams, but I don't know if the good one could be.
Start with the oldest one and work towards current time.
Okay, the oldest one. Okay, the oldest one.
Is this in current time though? Is this present day, or recent times?
I don't know. You want me to talk about the recent one or the?
Well, are they all
one?
Recent in the last within the last few weeks?
Okay. So the recent one was last night. There was a lot of mud inside a property or something.
Inside a what?
Like a big house, mm-hmm. like a big house front yard, something like that. Like a big property.
Yes.
I can say it's a big house.
Yes.
So the mud was erupting from the ground,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a lot of people around trying to help, trying to guard. I'm not sure, but a lot of people. But I recognize one person in the dream.
Are they males and females in the dream?
It was like a mix, but I recognize specifically a man.
Mm-hmm.
And a man that I know in my life, in real life,
mm-hmm.
a very important person for me. He was wearing his eyeglasses, and he was like trying to do something. He was there. He was there. I saw him, and I feel like okay, he's
yeah.
there. I don't know if he saw me, but I saw him. Then. I was taking care of two kids and trying to protect them, something like that. I was
Were you in the house or outside the house?
We are still outside the house because mm-hmm. I could see the sky, you mm-hmm. know, and in the sidewalk from the front yard. So I was with them, mm-hmm. I think holding their hands. One of them was one of my students mm-hmm. in real life.
Male or female?
A boy, a six years old boy, mm-hmm. a handicap because he's handicapped in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So the another one, I'm not sure if he was my son or another student. I wasn't sure, but I was sure for the first one, my student. I recognize his face.
Okay.
And I was talking to him like, okay, calm down. I'm with you. Don't worry. Let's see.
And that was the handicapped boy?
Yeah, the handicapped boy. I was talking to him saying like, don't worry. I'm yes. with you, holding his hands. And he was like trusting me at that yes. moment.
Yes.
And then when the eruption went aggressive, I mean, like more water, more mud, you know, erupting everywhere, like, I don't know if the level of the mud was going up. I'm not sure, but was more and more. I'm trying to. I don't know if I was worried, panic, or something, but I was the urgence to do something. Like, oh my god, what am I gonna do? What is this, right? So I start walking, moving around, trying to avoid the mud flow. And suddenly I see myself inside the house. Oh, I'm inside the house now, right?
Mm-hmm.
No more in the front yard. And I don't see the people around anymore,
mm-hmm.
the crowd. I don't see them anymore. But I realized that I was inside my parent's house.
Mm-hmm.
My parent's house and the country and the city where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I entered to my brother's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
With the kids, okay, still the kids were with me. And I just saw my mom lying down in one of the twins' bed because I have three brothers. So there were three twins' bed, and my mom was lying in one of them like she always used to do, you know. And my dad was with her standing up. And they look at me when I was entering into the bedroom, like that. Okay, what? And I saw, what is this? My mom, my dad, I'm inside the house, my parents' house. So at that moment, I woke up, but I felt that I did it intentionally. I mean, I was trying to get out there. And like I needed to stop the dream, you know? And I felt like I was coming back from a vacuum absorbing me for that dream.
You were coming back, like, what? Coming back
I felt that I was coming back from the dream to my bedroom.
Yes.
But the sensation, the feeling was I was being absorbing from a vacuum. And I don't know how to explain this, but it was like I was transported from there to here.
Yes.
You know, and
you were in a transition.
So fast.
Yes, yes. Well, what happens in dreams when we are dreaming of our parents show up in our dreams? First of all, this mud situation, I'm going to get into that because anything to do with any form of water, which mud is a form of water. Are you in a relationship right now?
My situation right now is a little complicated. It's
muddy. Your relationship situation is muddy.
Yes.
Because this is representational of your relationship. So what is your relationship where it is muddy?
Well, I'm still married, but I'm separate from my husband 2 years now. And I'm having a relationship with another man. We can call him a lover, but it's more than that.
Right,
we have been together for
somebody you love. Okay, so this is why it's muddy. It's complicated. Complicated things. It's coming across as being muddy. It's not clear. This isn't clear water. It's not a waterfall. It's not a clear pool. This is a muddy situation. Mm-hmm. And what it is doing is causing you some distress. And now you find yourself in a house with your parents. So there is some judgmentalism. Are you being judgmental of yourself while you are in this situation? Because our parents, excuse me, your parents showing up as characters in this moment.
Honestly, I can say that it sounds like that if I'm thinking about why
your own personal
my parents.
Your judgmental side of yourself is getting is coming up for you. So
you are
in a situation that isn't clear. You're not clearly in an open relationship. You're not clearly divorced yet. You're not clearly mated with the new person. So it's muddy. What do you intend on doing about your situation?
Yes, I think
you have a plan.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Let's do that. Let's figure it out. Do you want to get divorced?
It's not my priority right now for many reasons.
Causing you some psychic pain. It is causing you some interior emotional pain that is bringing this dream on forward so you can deal with the issue. You can't keep putting it under the rug because ultimately it will cause you some psychological pain.
I'm having that pain right now, but I'm thinking that my priority is my son, his well-being. So because of that, I'm trying to make the most with the thing that I have right now.
How old is the son?
My son is 11 years old.
And does he live with you?
He's a handicapped boy too. He's autistic.
Yes, okay, so he's and he lives with you? Does he live with you?
He lives with me. I have a very good relationship with his father.
Does it matter if... So now we need to do one of two. Does the husband know you have a relationship?
No, he doesn't know. And the reason that I decided to separate was because I was living a sexless life with him. And I know I meet this person that he's in the same boat like me. He's married too, and he's living a sex life too. Mm-hmm. So we match, you know.
Okay, you have a lover. You know, okay, you have a lover.
Yeah.
You each are married and you each have a lover. Now, the next part of that, you can live with it and alleviate the guilt if you're fine with that, which it sounds like you are. But there's a piece of you, because there's an old piece of your scripted self, which is why the parents showed up in the dream, where you are a little bit judgmental of it on yourself. So do you give yourself mm-hmm. some guilt over this?
Let me be honest. I don't feel guilty at all, because
somewhere in your psyche, it's showing up that there is.
Yes, I mean, yes, yeah. I think that the belief and everything that, you know, I got from my parents and everything, but trying to analyze everything, that relationship
okay
that I have right now saved my life at some point, because I was losing myself, you know, like, I don't know, maybe I know what I'm doing, but I'm still knowing that, I will like to have a clear life.
Darling, we have other callers waiting who want to call in, but I suggest you just live with this for now and realize that your psyche, your subconscious mind is telling you, it's as a barometer of your situation, that it's a muddy situation.
Yeah.
You're aware of it.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Thank you so
I
much
agree.
For calling, and we have other callers waiting. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you, callers. Yes, if you want to call in for your dream interpreted, it's 323-203-0815. And I want to go over, you can order Patricia's book on Amazon. It's called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself by Patricia Eltinge. And if you want to book a session with Patricia, what is your contact number, Patricia?
My contact is either through the website, which is thedreamclass.com, or my email can be reached at patricia@thedreamclass.com. And then again, my office number is 310-528-0515. You can text me there, and we can set up appointments.
And Patricia also does script interpretation. She was talking to another one of the callers about scripts. So if you want to book a script, you can either call me and I'll refer you over, or you can call Patricia directly.
Very good. Very, very good. Well, we've had some good callers. Do we have some in the queue?
We might. We're winding down the show. We end at 5:50. So do you want to go over any information that you want the callers to know?
Yes. Well, again, my contact I just gave you, and I love hearing from people what their wants and needs are. And Sue often refers the people to get their script work done. And when we talk about doing our scripts, we are talking about an archaeological dig into your life from 6 months in utero to now, which is how you became you, and all your thoughts and feelings, attitudes, behaviors, how you formulated all of that, and how much of that still serves you, if it ever did, and how much of it we want to chip away and restructure.
Perfect. I know that we answered some dreams fast. Are you willing to answer some questions that the callers called in
about
relationships?
Yeah.
Here's one. I have been out on a few dates with this guy. Things are going okay. I was upset about something the other day and told him, and he came and saw me. We went to coffee and have a chat about it. But he's been a bit distant the last couple of days. He hasn't reached out since Thursday. Has been active on WhatsApp, though. So I've pulled back for now. I have a 3-day rule that if a guy doesn't contact me for that period, it clearly means he's not that interested or he's talking to other women, which is fine. But I won't be in that dynamic. I will remove myself silently with no explanation. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on that are that you will remain single. And in this day and age, to be that dogmatic No man will want to be with you, because it takes some time for men to mull over having been with you, and they really have 8 weeks. So when a man doesn't call you in 3 days, men, first of all, women have to understand that men's brains are different. And
exactly. That busy. Seems to be a big point that women don't understand. Go over that for them.
Right. Men are single focused. They do one thing at a time. If they're busy at work, work issues, tax dilemmas, deadlines, they will focus on one thing at a time. And not like women, we're like hydrangeas. We can go in multiple directions at the same time. We were designed that way. And men, the male of the species, unless they're left-handed, by the way, but that's another scientific phenomenon. And men are basically single-focused. They were designed to go hunt, go get the beast, and bring it back. So when women are multitasking and doing all the and worrying about what he's doing and what he's thinking, and he only gets 3 days and then he's out, well, you might be missing the boat on a good man. So I suggest that this person lighten up and wait 8 weeks before she decides that man can't call her back anymore. So
yeah, that's kind of like when John Gray talks about how men go back to the cave. They need to go back and kind of build up their testosterone and kind of refocus and come back out. It's very important, and a lot of women cut them off.
Yeah, it's just they're cutting their own nose off to spite their face.
So, yeah, because that seems to happen to a lot of my ladies in the ladies groups. They get so angry that the guys don't call them within a couple of days. And, you know, I have to
kind of entertain yourself, people. Go entertain yourself. Be busy yourself with your girlfriends. Go to the gym. Get a massage. Go for a run. Go do something. Go
or do the magic rule. Do the duty date and get
dating
guys available.
For good's sake.
Ooh. Don't focus on one, because he'll never give you everything you want in one.
It's all one is found in Dr. Pat Allen's book, Getting to I Do. The whole dynamic of duty dating is for a good reason.
There's also the movie Duty Dating. You can stream it on, I think it's on YouTube. You can see the movie. That's a great movie to watch. I have my ladies watch that too.
That's right. That was one of someone who studied with Pat, Dr. Pat, and she took the book and made a movie out of Dr. Pat's work.
Material. It's an older movie, but it still has the same information. It's very funny. About it's all about the masculine lady controlling the dates.
That's it. That's and shooting herself in the foot and bombing her opportunities. So, ladies, let's not ruin your opportunities by being so so tough and dogmatic about giving people such short time frames. They get 8 weeks in our world.
I've had some ladies I've saw on the Facebook pages and stuff. They talk about the rules. You have to keep rules with men. I believe it's boundaries, not rules.
Personal boundaries. Personal boundaries.
Personal boundaries.
Yeah, personal boundaries that make you comfortable, but we still state it from a feminine position about our comfort zone with things. But you don't have these dogmatic, I have these rules, and if you don't abide by them, I'm going to chop your balls off. I'm sorry.
That's called the masculine energy, ladies. You got to stay in one suit. Okay, I have one more question and then we'll have to probably end the show. It says, uh-huh. So I met someone and first two dates went amazing. On the third date, I slept with him, only cuddles and lots of touching, nothing else at his apartment. On the fourth date, he asked to come to my house. He even reserved a restaurant just downstairs of my apartment. I told him I have my mom over. I'm curious, why would a guy invite himself to someone's apartment? He says he's looking for a serious relationship and already called himself my boyfriend on the fourth date. We have amazing chemistry, but still I don't get why he wouldn't want to come to why. But still, I don't get why he would want to come to my apartment. What do you think?
I think that men like to see how you live. If they're planning to partner with you, they want to see if you're a slob, or they want to see your taste. They want to see how you live. And that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Men want to find out who you are on yet another level. They know you a little bit this way, and they're starting to find out about you, but they want to see how you live. That's perfectly normal.
That's
Don't
a good
chop their balls off for wanting to talk about you, please, ladies.
Well, what's another thing is why, you know, the ladies always wonder about why the guy's doing. Why don't they stay and mind their own business and stay in their lane and stop jumping and over?
Yes, allow a man to investigate and learn about you.
Yeah, his way. And
this way, then you're not going to let him go any further than you're comfortable doing anyway.
Yeah.
You have your own personal boundaries.
Yes.
So,
and then that opens up the thing. Feminine energy is patient, passive, vulnerable, and available. So if he wants to come to your place, be available to his leadership. Don't stop him and start taking it and controlling what he wants. That turns you into the masculine leader.
Right on.
Yeah, we've got just a couple more minutes. Do you want to do any closing lines and stuff? Just remember, if you want to join my ladies groups or Dr. Allen's ladies groups, call the office 949-723-0338 or email me at info@drpatallen.com. Patricia,
sign up. Life script. And I just want to share with people so that they are open to their dreams, open to seeing the images that come to them, and not to be afraid, because our dreams all wish us well, even if sometimes they have scary images. So some, just like the lady who called before and said there was a potential semi-rape scene about to happen, it was symbolic. It didn't mean exactly that. So what I want people to understand is our dreams are trying to come up from our subconscious mind to bring us messages for our personal growth and transformation. So welcome your dreams. Learn about my system. And that's it. All dreams wish us well.
What about daydreams? Are those classified when you daydream? Do you mark those down and it's the same as if you're nighttime dreaming?
Yes. Yes. I'm a great daydreamer. The more you get in touch with your nighttime dreams, the more readily you are available to daydreams, which are can be very creative. And a lot of creative people daydream and use that in their work or their form of creativity.
Well, that's true. I do that.
Good.
I'm going, that's when I do my best, is when I just sit and daydream.
That's it. That's when you are in touch with your subconscious.
Okay. That makes sense now. Yeah.
Great.
So please join everybody. Join us next week and we'll go through the first part of the show is for relationship questions and answers. And the second part is for our dream interpretation. And with that, I'll let you close the show, Patricia.
And as ever, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you, callers. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.